You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, hour number two today. Nathan Zagura, happy to be back with you here alongside Matt Wilhelm, Michael Regeye, and it is time now for the roundtable, brought to you by Blue Point Grill. That's right, Blue Point Grill, that's grillwithane.com for reservations, located on the corner of West 6th and St. Clair, right where you need to be. Silver Spoons Award winner for the best seafood restaurants ever since opening, and that's a reputation they've earned. By serving the absolute freshest and highest quality seafood, I think they have the best crab legs in town. And with a name like Blue Point, you know oysters are a big deal. Over 75,000 hand-shucked, just like how Matt Wilhelm likes them every single year. It's a great place, by the way, for brunch before a Browns game. Valet parking, brunch, oysters, Bloody Marys. That is pre-game and in style. Get your reservations now at Blue Point Grill. That's grillwithane.com. And joining us for the roundtable is Doug Deacon, the color analyst on the Browns Radio Network, the PNC Bank Browns Radio Network. Doug, how you doing today?
Doing fine.
The snow is falling. We're going to get a real AFC North-looking type game this Sunday against Cleveland. How are you feeling about the Browns coming off, obviously, that big win against Cincinnati, sitting atop the division now at 6-3?
Well, it was a big win, but as we all know, it's what have you done lately, and this is going to be a challenge. This is a good football team. I mean, they're 4-5, but if you look on their defensive side of the ball, I think they have about 7 first-round draft picks that they can stick in there. Offensively, I mean, they got the weapons at the skill position other than the quarterback, and the quarterback is an unknown, so it's kind of one of those where you got to bring your A game.
And I want to ask you this, and Matt, you this as well, from a mental standpoint for a team that for so long has not been good to finally be good, how does that pressure and that dynamic change in the locker room, and what's the best way to kind of combat that or deal with that?
Well, the good thing is you get confidence. You get confidence in the people you're playing with, and I think it's a great lesson in chemistry because each week it seems like there's somebody else stepping up and making a play. Last week it was, Robertson makes the interception, and instead of settling for 3, they run the ball, 4 or 5 times, and they slam it in, and they kind of set the tone for the game. So I think there's a confidence factor that comes with it, but you also have to remember the dark days and remember, when you made those mistakes that you weren't winning. So you got to, play with a smart football.
Deke brings up a great point. It's exactly where I was going to go is I think now at 6-3, after having gone on the road and won a division a game the way we did against the Cincinnati Bengals, we understand the recipe for success, what it takes to prepare mentally and physically and emotionally each and every week to go win football games. And to his point, and why I said he kind of hits it on the head, is we also, too, it's still kind of fresh in our mind because it's only last season, or even look back to the Jacksonville game, we still understand the recipe for disaster, and what you want to do is, again, it's a copycat league, and I think now that we understand that recipe for success, you have guys, buying in more and more, a higher percentage of that locker room is buying into that recipe and actively participating, actively doing more, actively practicing harder, which leads to more prepared, more fine-tuned athletes on Sunday, and then they just go execute the buy-in of the plan each and every week by the coaches.
No question, and I think that's what's exciting about it is the confidence. You talked about the buy-in, and Mike Pettine said the thing that he's most proud of is the buy-in from the players and the buy-in from this team. Now, the offensive line showed up against Cincinnati. They looked good. The Browns ran the ball 52 times for 170 yards and 3 scores there. But J.J. Watt comes to town. What kind of challenge is J.J. Watt going to present? And how do you deal with a guy that dominant?
Well, I mean, you're talking about probably the best in the business right now. And he's a matchup problem not just for the right tackle, the left tackle. He's a matchup problem for the guards in the center because they move him all around. And, you've got to be aware of where he's at and, hope that, in doing so, he not only does he get to the quarterback, but he also he's been known to swat down passes. So you got to find your throwing lane. So I think you're going to have to get the ball out quick in this case. And I think there's times you're going to have to help out. I mean, you're going to have to chip on him. You're going to have to keep a back in and stay just to make sure that he doesn't disrupt your offensive flow.
All of those are great points, and the one other thing that I as I watched the Philly tape last night, Philadelphia Eagles versus Houston Texans, the J.J. Watt factor is not only is he productive, but because of the attention that he garners, allows everyone else to be productive around him because you're so aware, or he draws the double team so consistently that some of those middle dog crosses where you're bringing both inside linebackers, you know, kind of one following another, which are confusing, but at this point now that the 3-4 defense has been so prevalent in the NFL, you know, offensive lines are used to seeing it, but when one guy gets so much attention who is so active, you know, when he moves, all eyes go with him, that your eyes deviate maybe off course or off of your responsibility, which allows for some freebie sacks or players at or around the quarterback.
That's why Whitney Mercilus has 4 sacks on the season, 10 hits, 16 hurries. Brooks Reed has 15 hurries as well. It's that attention that's paid to J.J. Watt. And, Reg, I know you guys touched on this earlier with the running backs here, but it sounds like they're going to settle on 2. It sounds to me like it's going to be a lot of Terrence West, some Isaiah Crowell, and then Ben Tate kind of taking, it seems, a little bit of a backseat.
Interesting. Very interesting. Matt and I were talking about that. And we do think, though, that there are specific skill sets to all of them. I firmly believe that all are going to have an opportunity to put that forth to help this football team continue to win. I think most fans probably feel like settling on 2, Deke, right, would be the best way to go. But I just think there's so many things that Tate still brings to the party that can be utilized catching the football out of the backfield and his ability to get in the end zone.
Well, I think you're still finding out about your running backs, especially the young running backs. You know, I think the lack of exposure to the passing game for Crowell is probably a little bit against him, but by the same token, he probably has the best vision of all 3 of them. And, you know, you look to last year, we'd like to have this problem last year.
Yeah,
I mean, you
crazy.
Think about it. You know, here we're complaining about, you know, do we use 2 or 3? Last year, can we find one?
Yeah, and right now we are rich. Last year we were certainly poor, and the stats bear that out as well, as the Browns, one of the most effective teams running the football. I really think the key to this defense has been its ability to control the back end and get off the field on third downs, a radical departure from a year ago as well. And when you look at this matchup, Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins coming to town, how do you think Jim O'Neill is going to kind of piece that out with, you know, Joe Hayden, Buster Screen? How do you see those matchups going?
Well, I think Joe Hayden has shown that when he gets a big wide receiver, he likes to jam him in the line of scrimmage, and it's kind of in Joe's wheelhouse. Buster, Buster is continuing to grow, and I think he's playing with more confidence because of the success he's had, especially last week. You know, a couple weeks ago he struggled against Tampa, but I think, you know, Buster – you know, I'll put Buster out there with anybody.
Absolutely.
I do, too. And I think where I even still, you look at Hopkins and you look at Andre Johnson, as productive as he's been throughout his career, I, at this point right now, would take a seemingly large advantage with the way in which our defensive backfield is playing. And I think a lot of that has to do with their film study and their execution of what they see throughout a week and the way in which they practice. So that the game is seemingly, I hate to say it, easy by the time the game's run around, because they have such an understanding of who they're playing against personally. But then also, too, is I think this offense with a young quarterback in Ryan Mallett, first time starting, is this is more, as we talked yesterday, more about concepts and what routes they like to run. And we heard, you know, you cover, you know, Buster Screen and his interception against Greg Little last week. You heard him talk about Denard Robinson earlier in the season with Tashawn Gibson's pick. It's about film study and how that transfers over into the football game. And I think that this group, Andre Johnson runs a certain type of route. Hopkins runs a certain type of route, and we're going to be prepared for those, which bodes extremely well because of the confidence that we're playing with right now in the defensive back end.
And I think the defense has calmed down. I think early in the year they were trying to make plays and getting themselves out of position, even to the point, I mean, when Jim O'Neill comes in and talks, he seems to have calmed down. I think that's a reflection because it all comes from Mike Benton, who is pretty darn calm on game days.
Is the most important thing in this game to stop Arian Foster and kind of put this game in Ryan Mallett's hands?
I would think so. I mean, because you got an unknown there, but you got a known in Foster. I mean, he runs that outside zone as good as anybody. Yeah, they've got a new coaching staff there, but they're not going to ditch what they did good, and that's running the outside zone. And so, you know, they've seen ours, we've seen theirs, and it's just a matter of who can execute on the line of scrimmage.
You know, Jim O'Neill was just alluding to guys as well. It's when he was asked about, well, the success of this defense of late, he said it's literally a snap-by-snap mentality now, that guys are willing to be accountable and understand that maybe as a whole they're not gifted enough to go out and dominate, but snap-by-snap spearheaded by Dansby and Whitner as the leaders. It's working. And, I mean, Nathan, you look at the last, what, five football games, given up less than 7 points per in the second half of games. That's how you win, man.
That's right. Number two in the NFL in that regard. And when you take away Aaron Foster, put the game in Ryan Mallett's hands, you're playing into your strengths on the back end and in the front end and getting the quarterback because, listen, Ryan Mallett's not very mobile. He's a big guy. And they've been the fifth worst of offensive line in terms of pass blocking efficiency so far this year. So I think we can get some pressure on him.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can, and the thing is, the way you get it is get him in third and long, I mean, second and long. I mean, that's one of the things I think that helped our running game last week was we didn't have those 1 yard carries on first down or negative yards. You know, we got 2, 3. I mean, we didn't, you know, rush for a great yards per carry, but we got positive yardage on first down. And if you can, you know, shut Foster down, put the ball in Mallett's hand, you know, you take your chances with a quarterback that hasn't really.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that's something that has been, you know, probably eating a lot of Browns fans up is with the inability to run the football is when we go run, you know, consecutively, and you go for 1 yard or no yard, and Brian Hoyer and that offense have 3rd and 9 repeatedly throughout a football game. But when you're running, when you're toting the pill they did against the Cincinnati Bengals, you went run, you're in 3rd and 1. You know, you're in 1st and 10. You're at 3rd and 2, a much more manageable down and distance for this offense. Again, who was missing some of their skilled players?
No question. Now, the Browns might be without Tashaun Gibson, the great free safety, playing very well. How important is it now that you do have a guy like Jim Leonard who has been so well-versed in this defense for many, many years, and also you're playing against an opponent that really is a two-trick pony in the pass game? It's Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, and they haven't had a tight end make an impact. They haven't had a third receiver make an impact either.
Well, you know, anytime you bring a veteran in like Jim Leonard, who's like a coach on the field, you're going to might lose some speed, foot speed, but you're also going to bring in a lot more experience.
That's what he's going to bring, yeah?
Yeah, and I think he epitomizes Mike Patton and Jim O'Neill. I mean, not just the fact that he's been with him. I mean, this is literally the, hate to use the phrase, this is the coach on the field situation with Leonard at the back end of that defense. I don't think the guy's going to hurt you.
No, he's not. And I think not only a little bit of speed is what we'll lose, but I think the playmaking ability of Tashaun Gibson is what we'll lose as well. But I think that Jim Leonard, a lot like Tashaun Gibson, is going to be in all the right places because he knows his defense so well.
And it's interesting, that story that Bill O'Brien told about Jim Leonard designing the game plan for the Jets. I actually asked Jim Leonard about that yesterday in the locker room, and he was like, oh, yeah, I'm not – yeah, that's what I did. I told him, and they just listened to everything I said. So he was kind of blowing it off and saying it was blown out of proportion. But at the same time, he noted that, you know, he had been out for a year and was just trying to study and contribute any way he could. So this is a guy who knows not only this defense but the offense that the Browns are going against this week incredibly well.
Oh, yeah, that's a big plus. I mean, and you got help from Hoyer because he knows the offense very well too. But, you know, it's going to come up to guys making plays, and that's what we've been able to do the last few weeks is different guys stepping up and making plays. And it's the old Blankire, don't let Fred do it yourself.
That's right. And I feel going into this game as it's snowing outside here in Berea, the Browns practicing outdoors in the snow today to get ready for Sunday's game. I really feel ultimately when you look at this team, it is built for this type of weather. That's what Mike Pettine, I think, when I asked him about finally getting to play a snow game and play in a cold weather, his eyes lit up. This is toughness. This is what it's about.
It does, and I think, it's a testament to the people in this building that have constructed this roster and Coach Mike Pettine to develop this personality of this football team. And what I love most about this, and Deeks talked about making plays, is we don't know who that playmaker is going to be this Sunday. And that's what you have to love about this football team. And that also, too, as a defensive player, from my perspective, it's very difficult to prepare for when you don't have to stop one person or overemphasize, but they're very balanced. And, you know, Benjamin or Gabriel or Hawkins can make that big catch when their number is called.
Yeah, and I think it's too easy to overlook. And with all due respect to the previous regimes here, haven't one of the big questions, guys, we've always asked, well, are they stylizing their football team to have the type of identity that can win in the AFC North? And, Deke, we've always had questions about that, always, and we never had none of us could say, yeah, they are. And now we can at least start to say, yeah, they are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, no offense to Chud, but, you know, when last year when things didn't go, you hit the eject button, you went straight to the pass. And I think, you know, even looking at Houston, Bill O'Brien brought the same thing in that Mike Pettine brought in. He brought in that toughness that you want from your football team. And, you know, that's one of those things that I think has really served them well because, you know, last week the line of scrimmage, they dominated. Mm. I mean, they really dominated.
And that's going to be key this Sunday at First Energy Stadium. Doug, thanks so much for joining us here on the roundtable. Go ahead.
The other key is going to be the crowd. You got a quarterback that hasn't played. If you can get the crowd in this football game and make it tough for him, he's going to have a lot of problems.
Bring it, dog pound.
Bring it. We bark together. That's what they want us to be saying this week. That's the hashtag. But the bottom line is get to your seats, get to them early, get loud and cheer on your first place Cleveland Browns, looking to get to 5-1 at home in front of the good folks there. Doug, thanks so much. And we'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford after this. But don't forget, do you like steak? Yeah. Do you like crab legs? Probably.
Yeah.
Lobster tails?
Uh-huh.
Ahi tuna? Oysters?
Yep.
Hand-shucked? 75,000 both coasts? Do you like being treated like a VIP, Matt Willow?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Would you like to take someone special and score some points?
Let's go, Nathan.
Then let's go to BluePointGrill.com. It's nice to know that I'm special. That's grillwithane.com. On the corner of West 6th and St. Clair, Blue Point Grill's got the best seafood in this city. So check it out. Get those points. You can tailgate before this Texans game. Oysters, Bloody Marys, valet parking. That is pre-gaming in style. Again, go to Blue Point Grill, grillwithane.com for reservations. More CBD right after this. Yeah.